El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Just joking. Adam forgot to record this and now he's nowhere near a microphone. So, robots. Joining us today, she's the host of the 12 Questions podcast right here on the Unpops Network. And now, she's on this podcast today too. Ladies and gentlemen, Ana Valenzuela. Also joining us, he's also a fantastic comic who you've heard on the show before. He's also in fantastic marauding shape, so hit him up when the apocalypse happens. Ladies and gentlemen, JP Brown. It's gonna be a great show.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host today, my favorite co-host of all, nobody. Empty seat over there. No guff. No guff from anyone today. But that also means that means there's no soundboard also, so I don't get to cut anyone off this episode. But that's fine.
What the hell?
I got a room full of guests, though. Guests who haven't been on the show in a while, either
it's
of
been
you.
A minute.
I missed
it
you.
It has been a while. Ana Valenzuela.
Hi, guys. I'm back.
From the 12 Questions podcast right here on the Unpops Network.
Yeah, pay attention for season three. We're going to seasons because Mama burns out on all that empathy.
Yeah. And I'm going to do an episode this upcoming season. Someday. We were supposed to do it today.
It's going
to
be one. It's going to be, yes. I can just edit things out of that one if you want.
Maybe I should listen to it again. I just know I was a wreck the week we recorded that. And I know I got very weepy on that
podcast. Let's do it another time. And we'll do it because it's not necessarily a sad podcast. It can be happy and joyous and fun. It's whatever. Yeah. It's wherever you're bringing to the table, but it will bring out all your feels.
It really will.
It's
a good podcast.
It's a good podcast.
That's why it's on the network.
Yes. Right? Unpops and proud.
Also joining me for the second time, JP Brown.
Second time, dude. Woo. Guten Morgen, mes amis. ¿Cómo está? You see that? Three languages, one greeting.
Nice. Do you speak all three languages like fluently?
No. Absolutely not. I wish I did.
Just that part.
Just that part, and that's it.
Just
the greetings.
Guten Tag.
I used to be able to speak French like a dynamo.
Yeah.
Because we, I always took classes in elementary school up until grade 9.
Are you Canadian?
Yeah.
What?
Oh wow.
States. Yeah. Born in the States, but lived up there all my life. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Don't get it twisted. Not all Canadians are nice. Not all. Not from where I'm from.
Where were you from? Where were you living?
Toronto.
Toronto. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I haven't been to Toronto. I was in Vancouver, and at first the comedians were a little standoffish, and then when I got off stage, they were so cute. They were like, "We didn't know you were a professional comedian." And then they were like, "What shows are you on?" And then somebody organized me 6 more spots over 2 days.
Oh, nice.
It was incredible. I was so busy and everybody's really, really nice. But my favorite thing to say in Canada when I do comedy up there is to say, "Where are my Latinos at?" And nobody says anything. And everyone starts laughing because Canada is painfully aware of its like super whiteness.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah. Not so much in Toronto. Toronto's a little bit more multicultural.
Okay.
Stuff,
okay.
But they tend to use that as a crutch to hide their racism. We're in a multicultural city. That doesn't mean we all get along, guys.
Yeah, like Los Angeles. It's like, how did you get Dodger Stadium? We burned down a Hispanic community and shipped them all to Mexico.
There's a school buried under Dodger Stadium.
There is.
God, whole fucking school. Yeah, they look into Chavez Ravine. The things they did to build Dodger Stadium was
serious?
A fucking atrocity.
Wow.
They basically this guy came in and was like, "We're gonna build this all up and we just need you to move out for a little bit and then we'll move everyone back in." And after everyone moved out, someone was like, "Hey, what you're doing sounds like communism." And it was during the height of the Red Scare. So they fucking sent that guy to prison. Mm-hmm. And they were like, "Well, we can't, we can't engage in communism, so we have to find something else to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and they were like, well, you have to make it something the public can use. And they were Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
It's a dark fucking story.
That is such a dirty trip. Holy shit.
Yeah.
My favorite thing to do when sometimes to make a little extra hustle money, I'll tour guide. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things to do is just tell the truth about Los Angeles to unsuspecting tourists. And they're like, oh dear. And I'm like, tip me. but it's a nice, I do think it's, yeah, when you get in deep into LA history, you'll find that it is just, there's a veneer of multiculturalism and a veneer of like diversity. Right. And then just under that is a lot of racism and bigotry. The fact that we have the veneer is good though, because there's no veneer.
The veneer is nice.
It's nicer than some other places in our country where there's zero veneer.
Zero, right. Yeah.
But it can be shocking to people when they move here and they're like, I thought this was going to be, I had a friend who moved from the South and she was like, you know, strong, powerful black woman, nurse, like medical administration. And she was having like problems at work. She goes, at least about this in the South, they just call you the N-word your face.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, that's powerful. So.
And so they do that in Toronto as well. believe it or not, I can honestly say I've experienced way more racism up in Toronto than I ever have down here.
Really?
I can honestly say that, yeah.
Canadians get it together.
The further north you get, it's surprising how much more racist North America gets. Like the most racist place I ever lived was upstate New York. Like that was the most openly blatantly racist place I've ever lived.
That's fascinating.
And I grew up in the fucking Midwest.
I've lived in Midwest.
South Dakota, and South Dakota was far less racist because no black people.
Yeah.
So there's if there's no black, then there's just no one
there's
to be
vacuum.
Racist against. Yeah. But in upstate New York, it's like white town, mostly black town, white town. And they're just all these small towns that fucking hate each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's wild.
There's my friends and I, we always call Toronto Screwface Central, right? Because, like, this is my opinion of Toronto. The city is great. The city is awesome. It's the people that suck.
Oh.
Like, despite, you know, like, with the exception of what's left of my family and friends up there.
Okay.
But, like, a lot of the people in Toronto are just very pretentious, very antisocial, very angry for like no reason. Like there's like people just walking around having beef with each other. And it's like the amount of shit I had to put up with up there. Oh my God, dude.
So it's like San Francisco with racism.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I find there's
San Francisco.
exactly. San Francisco, exactly. I find to be a very tense city. Every time I'm there, somebody just yells at me until I cry. And I'm like, you're supposed to be nice.
San Francisco's probably the only place I've ever been. I lived there for 3 months, and it's probably the only place where I've ever been like, we could use more police. Like, there's no police in San Francisco.
Oh, God.
So like,
they're all at the gay pride parade.
So when you get accosted by a homeless person at the mall, you're like, well, surely the police are going to show up and end this, right?
Hard no.
It's like, no, you're just fighting a homeless person.
Exactly.
probably on a World Star video somewhere.
Oh, God.
It's a goddamn nightmare.
Oh, right. My God.
Meanwhile, Officer Thompson is just right on one of the floats with his junk out and a whistle.
Firing off racist texts.
Like, oh, shit, better get back on my shift. Puts on his clothes. Again.
I did spend, I was up there for shows during Pride Week, and I went to the parade because you should go to Pride parades in any city if they're happening because they're a lot of fun. Right. And there was this like hot lady cop that was like covered in tattoos, and I kept sending her a picture to all my lesbian friends, and they were like, I was like, I found your wife.
She's still a cop though.
Yeah.
True. It's rough. Yeah, like,
true.
Yo, I was at a, not too far from here. I was at a, my car was having trouble. So I took it into a shop, and across the street, there was one of those like card readers. And I was with my roommate, and I was like, you got 10 bucks. Let's go get our cards read. Let's just go do something. Let's just go do something stupid. We got an hour to burn. So we walk over there, and we walk to the side, and there are two police officers with guns drawn, helmets on, and Kevlar on the corner. So like, here's the business. It's a corner business. And then right at the traffic light, there are two fully like geared up police officers. One of which was, just this little tiny woman, and they have got their full on Glocks out, and I was just like,
Jesus,
what fuck? So we crossed the street because I was like, what the fuck is happening there? And we perch up behind a retaining wall, and there was a raid at the house behind the psychic shop. Whoa. And they were just like battering rams the whole nine, dragging people out. It was the best entertainment. What?
That does sound like a lot of fun.
It was a ton of fun. It was a ton of fun. But, and I was sitting there and I was like, man, those cops look bored. I don't know. So are we like, I don't know. I don't want to be one of those people that like every cop's a dickbag, but the system is so fucked.
Yeah.
You know,
there's, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yep.
That's a whole other issue.
That's a different pod. It's not a relaxed fit pod.
I feel like we snuck an unpopular opinion in right there in the intro.
Yeah.
The truth about Canada.
Which
is actually a thing we've done a few episodes about. Like I've done episodes about how like the police in Canada aren't great.
They're
like,
not that friendly at all. Absolutely not.
The police absolutely fucking kill people in Canada.
Yep.
Yeah. Or they ignore the murders of and abductions of Native women. They ignore like crimes committed against drug addicts. They're like prostitutes. Like they have a real history. I love serial killers.
One of the serial killer podcasts.
So
one of the things I brought up when we did the Canada episode, and I bring this up all the time when Canada comes up, is the police in Saskatoon, I believe it was, there was this series of deaths called the Saskatoon freezing deaths. And over the course of like 30 years, they kept finding indigenous people dead at the side of the road, frozen to death.
Whoa.
Were they picked up by the cops and then just left there?
Yeah. They called it a starlight tour. What they would do is if they picked up an indigenous person who was drunk, instead of taking them to jail to sleep it off, they would drive them to the outskirts of town and make them walk back to town.
Whoa.
And they would do this in the middle of the fucking winter sometimes, and people would die. And
for
years, they could not figure out why people were just dying at the side of the road. And then finally, this one dude they did it to survived. He found like a power station that just happened to be open, and they let him in. And then the two cops who did it, they went on trial and they were convicted on September 10th, 2001. So nobody fucking heard about it because it was the day before 9/11.
Okay, so you've done that one. Have you done like a whole episode on things that happened the day before 9/11 that, because you know, Mariah Carey released Glitter on 9/11.
Of course I know Mariah
I know you do. On 9/11. But there's so many like the things that happened that week that nobody noticed. it's like a missing piece of history.
It was actually a good day for music.
It was a great
Jay-Z's Blueprint album came out. Mm-hmm. Bob Dylan's Love and Theft album came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I still went to Best Buy and bought the Jay-Z album. It's like,
maybe that's the podcast. It's cool shit that happened. I get that
we're all mourning, but I'm buying that Jay-Z album today.
You know, you're passionate about Jay-Z. Hey, Did you go to watch Glitter? Did you go to any releases for Glitter?
I wasn't into Mariah Carey then the way I am now.
Her older albums.
I had
albums,
to mature to really respect Mariah Carey as an artist.
I think you have to, or you have to have like a deeply troubled childhood, because I fucked with her first two albums so hard when I was a kid. I used to listen to the tapes.
Me too.
And play Nintendo.
Hell yeah.
And play Nintendo by myself in my room, and I was just living my life.
Hell yeah. So should we get to some other unpopular opinions? That's what this episode is.
Let's talk about
a bunch of unpopular opinions. Should I go first?
You go.
Yeah, do it.
Because mine is
so serious.
I think mine is pretty controversial. It's kind of a two-prong thing. Mm-hmm. The first part is I'd be all right if we start a war with China.
Yeah.
I feel like China has it coming. Because what did we go to war with Germany over? Like, in theory, it's because Pearl Harbor happened, but the reason everyone was at war with Germany is they were actively committing genocide.
And they are currently actively committing
genocide right now. They have 1.8 million people in concentration camps in China right now.
Jeez.
And they're not killing them. They're like,
working them
reprogramming their brains.
Right.
Because they're taking their entire Muslim population and putting them in what they call they call it vocational training. But what they're doing is basically programming the Muslim out of their fucking heads.
Oh, God.
And making them Chinese people instead.
The only person excited for that is Bill Maher. He's like, yes, please.
Yeah, I could see Bill Maher being all right with that.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
And the thing about it, like, I don't necessarily want us to start the war with China, but if no one does, then the second part of my thing is we should just abolish the UN. Because what does the UN do?
They're not regulating.
The UN is supposed to be protecting the world from dictators and tyrants and human rights abuses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you look at, like, one of the things I talked about on a solo podcast recently, the UN just signed off on this cybersecurity pact that was introduced by Russia, which is one of the biggest human rights abusers in the world.
Absolutely.
And backed by China, which is one of the biggest, not just biggest human rights abusers in the world, but they specifically use technology to oppress their people.
Yes.
Mm. And now the UN's like, oh yeah, let's let them decide how we figure what is and isn't a crime on the internet.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing as Trump stacking his administration with, you know, putting the head of the EPA as an anti-environmentalist.
Yes.
Like, I think to get to your point of like why we're not going to go to war with China over, they would have to attack us.
Right.
Like
right.
Pearl Harbor, because we don't, our stance globally and politically is anti-Muslim as well.
Whether, oh, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. So they're not going to come to the aid of these Muslim people. And it's really sad because in some respects, the UN comes really, really hard on Middle Eastern Muslim countries, but doesn't come as hard for China, mostly due to economics, but also the same sort of, you know, Islamophobia runs rampant there.
Yes.
And, not to say that every country in the world can look at itself. We do this thing in the 12-step world where we take an inventory of our groups and how well they're like serving the population. And what we have to do, I think, as societies globally is to sit down and do like a fucking, you know, not just a census, but like sit down and be like, how are we addressing issues? What are we doing? But that isn't what these governments are for. It's all like a for-profit, you know, it's all a for-profit venture. So as long as China is part of that machine, they're, unless they attack us, which I know that they were more surprised about Iran shooting. I was listening on NPR that the head of the military was more focused on China than what was going on in Iran. And then this Iran situation cropped up. And so situation, that was a cute way of saying we murdered a man. We murdered a man.
We sure did.
We sure murdered a man. And in response, they shot down a plane full of civilians. So this is fucking, I would say that whatever kind of war, you know, they were talking about a world war coming up. I wouldn't be surprised if China and Iran aligned, even though they are having problem, even though their religious ideologies don't match.
Right. Well, I think with China, it's not so much that they care about Muslims in other countries. I think they're fine dealing with a Muslim country.
Right.
They just don't want them in their country.
Yeah. Right. So it's like it's a practicality issue. Like I got to spend a little bit of time in Southeast Asia this last year, and there is a supremely dry and practical, like when I went and saw the movie Parasite, I was laughing at things nobody else in the theater was laughing at, because there's a specific, you spend just even a little bit of time there, and there's just like a specific way of thinking that is practicality over all things. And except for in like Bangkok and Manila, where it's just like, clusterfuck.
Yeah.
But like there is a practicality over all things sort of mentality. So I wonder if it's just more, you can't control a religious population as well as you can control, you know, a slightly hungry communist population.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah. China, the things they're doing with technology, just in that way, like if you're in a household that is a Uyghur Muslim household, they put a QR code on your house.
Wait.
Oh,
so they can.
Is it shaped like a star?
It might as well be. It
might as well be. Jesus. Exactly.
And they store all the information about who's in that house, and they sometimes will show up at your house and scan that and then go in. And if there's more people in there than they're supposed to be, something bad's probably going to happen to that extra person.
Meanwhile, we have choked our immigration system to such a degree that people can't come in. Whereas sort of the ambassadors of the world, we should probably have an open, the way that we took in the Hmong without question.
Right.
We should definitely take in the Uyghur population for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
and just put them. I mean, if you think about it, there's a thriving Hmong community, I think, in Detroit. Like, or somewhere like
Minneapolis.
I remember reading that in college. Like, just put them in a place where industrialization's a little bit rotted and fucking let them build an economy there.
Right.
Let them help. You know what I mean? These are people that want a life. Like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to fight everybody.
And and you mentioned Iran and China teaming up. One of the things that I've mentioned before, China is trying to set up their own oil market.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
And what that would do, like when we sanction a country like Iran, what we're doing is basically limiting their ability to sell oil on the open market, which then takes money away from them.
So they buy it in the black, they sell it on the black market to China and Russia.
Well, China's trying to set up a legitimate oil market to replace the, like, they basically want to replace the dollar as what oil prices are, because right now oil prices are set in at US dollars. Mm-hmm. And they want to set up a oil market that's backed by gold. And that's why they're going to all these countries like Venezuela, Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Two countries with incredible human rights violations on their record.
But also very rich in resources.
Yes.
And South Sudan also.
Cool.
And the thing about, like, you have to kind of connect those two things to see how scary that is. Like, they're basically predatory lenders.
Yeah.
They're going out to these African nations and Venezuela, countries they know that need money. They need development money very badly. So they're like, yeah, man, we'll loan it to you. No problem. Knowing that those countries are going to default on those loans. And then they're like, all your shit's ours now. And when you think about how they treat Muslims in their country, think about all the Muslims in fucking Congo. Like, what are they going to do when that country defaults on their loans, and now China's like, we would like to get rid of those Muslims in your country too. Then it really turns into Hitler stuff, where he didn't just rid Germany of Jews. He went to other countries and was like, you got to get them out of here too. Right.
So you think it's an economic Napoleonic takeover?
Kind of. Yeah.
Interesting.
And that's why, like, the trade war, in terms of all the things Trump is doing that are bad, that's way, 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 way down the list for me.
A
trade war with China, I don't give a fuck. Like, we probably need that. I'd be for that no matter what president was doing it.
Interesting. Because I was listening on NPR today. It's really hurting, like, our soybean sales. Apparently, soybeans are the main thing we sell to China. But
yeah, things are going to hurt for a while. That's how a trade war works.
That's true.
But I don't think it's unnecessary.
You heard it here, guys. Pro Trump, Adam Todd Brown.
No, just. I mean, I'm pro Space Force, too. Like, Space Force, we absolutely need.
Yeah, as a sci-fi fan, it's a thing that I want.
But it's not even that. It's more about maintaining the assets we have in space that help us successfully conduct wars. Mm. Like, most of our war machines run on GPS, as do most of our lives at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's what Space Force is meant to protect, is those satellites that power our war machines and get us around Los Angeles. That's what Space Force is about. And I'm fine. Like, we need that. We need to protect our shit up there.
Do you remember in Iraq War Volume 2, Electric Boogaloo, when they had the Blackwater guys that got killed? It was like all over the news. They got pulled out of their Humvee and killed, like, right there in the streets. One of the reasons why that occurred is they had the GPS loaded for, like, Florida.
Right.
Their GPS had no data for the Middle East. Was all, like, a specific part of the United States.
A couple years ago, there was this series of accidents involving the Navy's 7th Fleet, which is, like, our top of the line warships. And they were having all of these weird, like, crashes and pilot errors. And they're just like, it's human error. But what was being suggested was that because all of our shit runs on GPS and doesn't really have an analog backup, it was China and Russia interfering with our GPS signals. And that's why these accidents were happening. So, like, that's what Space Force is supposed to do. Whoa. Space Force is meant to keep shit like that from happening, and we absolutely need it.
Okay.
But also, fuck Trump.
Yeah, also fuck him to death. Like, yeah. In the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That, it's, yeah, definitely. Like, there's just some things the country need. Like, if Trump started some massive infrastructure rebuilding project, I wouldn't be mad at that. We need to rebuild our infrastructure. I'd be happy if any president did that.
Yeah.
When we look at a president, especially one that we don't agree with, when we look at like what they've done in retrospect. So for example, like, and I have no love for Reagan, but like, I'm glad the Berlin Wall came down. Right.
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 Yeah.
So like, I think it is okay. Part of like what's broken in our discourse is we're always just like, fuck that guy forever. They've never done anything good. And it's like, LBJ did a lot of good things and a lot of bad things. I just like really sit down and look at like LBJ's presidency and you'll be like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Every president is a human, and every, and I'm not saying that excuses any behavior, but we elect human beings to, you know, to govern this hot shit show,
yeah,
called democracy. And so it's there, not everybody's going to be good or all bad, and there are moments where you have to kind of hand it to Trump and be like, you know, fine.
Well,
yeah, that's not a bad idea.
The thing is, like, being as partisan as we are,
yeah,
as a country,
sure,
eventually it gets to a point where we just limit our ability to proceed and,
yes,
make progress. And yeah, another, yes, good example of that, at one point Trump was like, the government should just build a 5G network and we, yeah, should just give people internet. And people were like, we don't want Trump building an internet network. But Obama suggested the same thing, and the same people who were so opposed to Trump, right, doing it were all for it when Obama suggested it, but Republicans were against it. And then when Trump suggests it, Democrats are against it and Republicans are for it.
Right.
And either way, it's a thing we need.
We desperately, yes, need,
but
it.
Exactly. We're the ones keeping it from happening.
It would yes, be a game changer for so many people. What if, okay, so I used to have this joke. I never could get it to launch because people were so, because it is such a divisive space. But like, I was posing that, like, what if the wall had like woke things in it? You know, like, yeah, what if the wall had like, you know, an artisanal free range, like farm to table restaurant? Like, what if the wall had, but like, that's the thing. It's like, what if the wall was a massive cell tower that serviced, yeah, all of the United States? Like, what if, you know, there's a lot of stuff that like they could pitch it in a way that's like not as divisive. It's the problem is the rhetoric, not the idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the wall sucks. I believe we should have open borders, but if you're going to pitch it, fucking put some solar panels on that bitch. Like,
yeah,
make it work, you make know, it, make it, make it, you know, there are ways to bring people together to be like, all right, listen, I don't agree with it. And eventually we can put big doors in it and everybody can walk through, but you know, there's no, why not, you know, solar panels, wind power, like why not create it as like, combine that with the Green New Deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just my opinion, but I don't agree. I mean, obviously I'm a Latina. I don't agree with our immigration policies in the least, but like, use your fucking brains on either side, concede to the other side a little bit and you might get something done.
Right.
Yeah. Immigration has always been the thing with Trump.
Fuck it.
For me. Like that's like his immigration policy is,
it's a human rights violation.
Human rights, yeah, crisis. Yeah.
That's our human rights
to happen.
Crisis.
Yes.
It is happening. People are dying. People like Telemundo has done a really great job covering like folks that have been sent back within hours are killed. Hours.
Yeah.
Not even a full day are killed. We are sending these people to die.
And
we destabilized that region. We did that. Yeah.
We did that. We did it with NAFTA. Like,
yeah,
NAFTA is the reason we had that wave of illegal immigration in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, we went into Mexico and put fucking car factories on all their agriculture businesses. And so people who were working in that industry were like, all right, I guess we'll go to the United States and get exploited there. And we were like, yeah, come. We'll barely pay you
yeah,
for a few years, and then now we're going to pull all of that out from underneath you and send you back to die.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking nightmare. But the point I'm getting at is you brought up the wall. Like, the wall feels like some symbolic bullshit to me
isn't
really going to do anything. So, like, when it comes to Democrats being, like, not wanting to give money for the wall, even if it means protecting Dreamers. I'm not on Democrats' side.
Yeah.
In that case, fucking build the wall and keep the people who are here here.
It would be a fantastic thing if Nancy Pelosi, in all 800 years that she's been alive, just like she's, you know, she's like almost 80, right?
Yeah.
She's shriveling, right? I would love it if she just like lumbered up to the podium and was like, look, we're going to agree for funding for the wall. It's going to help the Dreamers. It's going to help the Dreamers. We're going to combine it with the Green New Deal and do a bunch of cool stuff that Democrats want. And then because it's a symbolic piece of shit, the next Democratic president is going to render it useless anyway. Right. So right. Like, we're just going to concede to the dum-dums in the room. It's like when you look at a kid and you're like, all right, you know, you can't have ice cream for breakfast, but then you look at him and you're like, do you want yogurt? You know, it's like you have to, because the people who are for that symbolic racism and that symbolic like anti-immigration bullshit, those people are not, they're not processing with a rational mind, right? No. So treat them like children. I hate to say it, but like you got to treat them like children and be like, yeah, like,
yeah, sure. we'll build that wall. That'll keep people out.
You know, it's like you got to wrap the pill in bacon to give it to the dog every once in a while. Yeah, wrap that bitch in bacon and like, and just be like, sure. And then, you know, do all those improvements with it. Then, yeah. And if we were open and honest about that, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's a boss move. That's putting your big lady dick on the table, Pelosi.
Yeah.
And just being like, sure, yeah, we'll do it, but here's what you got to do for it.
And like, like deporting Dreamers, that's a whole other thing. Like that would be like Kristallnacht shit. Like, cause then you're talking like business owners and people who own houses, college students. Like that's a whole different thing.
Mm. That's how you create an, you know, it's colonialism did such a great job to fuck Latin America and to really create a docile population. That's where you end up with a population more like the Philippines.
Yeah.
That's where you end up with some Jose Rizal shit. And like you fuck with the wrong person at some point and you're going to have people taking their land back. That's the one thing. It's like, I don't want there to be armed conflict between anything, but I am so surprised that Latin America hasn't taken to the same tactics as the Islamic regions of the world. Like we should be in some ways reacting with our own version of jihad. Like
And especially with those kids that are constantly being put in these cages and stuff.
Yeah.
All these families that are being put, they're going to remember this. They're not going to forget this.
Oh
shit.
No.
And then we're going to be sitting up here like, why does everybody hate us? They hate us for our freedom. No, they hate you because you locked them up and treated them like shit for all these years.
Yeah.
So now they're coming back with a vengeance. And you know what? Rightfully so. We kind of have it coming.
They incarcerated a U.S. citizen for 2 weeks. He was a 12-year-old boy. They incarcerated him for 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
Yeah. They incarcerated it's real bad. And you're going to create a really angry population. I don't know if they're trying to do so in order to make more aggressive oppression or if there is any long-term plan to any of this. Mm. It doesn't feel like there's it all feels like chaos magic. Yeah. Well, it's like, it doesn't feel like there's a long-term plan.
Trump's immigration plan is, I've been saying this forever, it's about creating holes. Because the argument against deporting people who are working here illegally is always, well, our economy would collapse. People still need to do those jobs. Mm. And there's this...
he wants poor people to do poor people jobs like they're fucking supposed to.
But see, that's the thing. It's not all... Like, there's this idea on the left, or at least among liberals, I don't know, that like... everyone who's here working illegally is picking strawberries.
And
there is no industry in the United States that has a predominantly illegal worker workforce. Like every industry, even agriculture, is predominantly American citizens doing those jobs. So the notion,
I think,
and if you get
California has like 21% of the Latino population is illegal, which is very high for the nation. It's very, very high. And I think like Georgia and like some other like southern states with high agriculture stuff going on, they do have higher percentages, but it's not all 100% of any population.
And the idea that Americans won't do those jobs is already being proven false. There was a raid in Mississippi last month of a bunch of chicken processing plants. And those are prime jobs where people are like, Americans don't want to do those jobs. They deported, or they rounded up 600 people at these plants and had a job fair an hour later.
Yep.
And filled all of those jobs immediately.
Which, by the way, all of you are fucking scabs, by the way. You shouldn't have done that.
Well, if you read this article, there's people who are like it runs the gamut. There's people who are like, well, they were here illegally. Fuck them. Like, of course they should be gone. And then there's some people who are like, I'm happy to have a job, but holy shit, they were just working. Yeah. Like, they weren't hurting anyone.
They weren't hurting anybody.
Why did we have to deport all these people?
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing it, because that's going to make, like, if you're a person who got that job, like, you know, in the back of your mind, it's because of Trump and his immigration policy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's how you slowly normalize the idea of literally sacrificing people so you can get ahead. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he also started this, he issued an executive order, I think it was, that basically mandates that if you're living in public housing and there's one undocumented person living there, you all have to move out.
Yeah. Wow.
And what that's going to do, like, that's going to put people in townhouses, and people want affordable housing. And if
more than that, people want gentrification.
Yeah, but but also, like,
that's why Canada looks so beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there's tons of it going on. Oh, trust me. Especially now, there's tons of it happening in Toronto.
Yeah.
All you see everywhere, even the neighborhoods where I grew up in and stuff, just condos after condos after condos after condos. And all these, you know, people who have lived there all their lives building their mom and pop restaurants and stuff, all being torn down, just moved down.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking, because it's just like, what's going to happen to them now? Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, I mean, on one side, it's like, okay, yeah, it's great to fix up these neighborhoods and stuff, and you want the property value to go up, and you want the value of the neighborhood to go up. Absolutely. But why not take care of these people, that instead of just tossing them out into the cold and expecting them to, like, fend for themselves somehow after you just took away their livelihood?
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy. Yeah. Did you hear about, I'm sorry to interrupt, did you hear about when they rounded up all those people at the chicken plant? A 12-year-old girl came home and her parents were both deported and her neighbors had to take her in.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. She's a naturalized U.S. citizen.
Yeah. Wow. She was at school. Her parents got deported.
Right.
From work.
Jeez.
They were both working at the plant.
Yeah.
And I mean, my dad, you know, he was a butcher, and he did meat processing for the state of California prisons after they busted up the butchers union. And that is hard fucking work.
Yeah.
It is hard fucking work. And some of it's very, very technical, because if you don't, you have to train these workers to make sure that, like, there isn't, you know, biocontamination. And for years in the 80s and stuff, they had a real problem in those chicken plants. People were cutting their own fingers off working in those plants. It's fucking, it's wild in there.
It's rough.
Wild work.
Damn. So, yeah.
We're doing great, guys.
We got way off war with China.
War with China.
Still.
But yeah, here's my thought. I think a lot of people don't want war with China because we're not going to win. You know, we're not going to win. We can't win. They're cyber. They'll just shut us down and then come in and roll over us.
Yeah, because
I'm
I
not
always
so
wonder
sure
about
that.
I always wonder about that, because, like, yeah, we have it's no question that we have a really, really strong military. I mean, we can't stop fucking talking about it every single time.
But we don't have a disciplined population the way that they do.
Right. Yeah. And plus, I always wonder as well about these other countries like China or Russia and stuff. Maybe they have some stuff up their sleeves that we have no idea about, except they don't go around barking about it every day, right, like we do.
See, I think, what I mean? Russia will align with whoever they think is going to win.
Yeah.
I feel like we're the ones who might have shit up our sleeves that we're not telling people about.
Oh, yeah. Like those sound weapons that make protesters, like, vomit.
Well, that's a real thing. It's called the active denial system. We built that shit.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But we also, this is a wild conspiracy theory.
I love a wild conspiracy theory. Let's go for it.
Hell yeah.
There is this installation of, they're basically lasers in Alaska. It's called HARP. Okay. And one of the HARP is built based on this patent that this guy basically, he got it approved. And what it does is it shoots a ray into the ionosphere, and it can control the weather. And this patent, like, if it were built, it would work. And we have this HARP installation, and we did an episode of the Conspiracy Podcast about it. They interviewed this representative of the U.S. government. It was a Canadian show that actually interviewed him. And he could not have been more like, yeah, that's what we're doing, but we're not going to tell you. Like, he was so fucking, like, he just had this grin the whole time.
Whoa.
And he was like, well, yeah, our thing doesn't have, like, his patent calls for a really concentrated beam, and ours is just a bunch of separate beams. And then the guy pulls out this fucking manual from HARP, and he goes, yeah, but right here it says you can concentrate all those beams into one thing. And the guy's like, yeah.
Do you think they're already using it now?
That's one of the theories, is that we have in the past used HARP to create natural disasters in other countries. So imagine if that really is a thing, because it is a thing you can do. If you can fire the right kind of ray into the ionosphere, you can control the weather.
Whoa.
And so imagine we go to war with China and we're like, all right, enjoy your earthquake, motherfuckers.
Can I tell you, I have to issue a full retraction. I've been a person who has not a retraction, but an apology. I've been a person who's been anti-conspiracy theory, and then all this Jeffrey Epstein shit happened.
This is no time to be anti-conspiracy theory.
I fell down the rabbit hole, and I thank you, Brandy Posey and Lady to Lady podcast, like all this, like I have fully tumbleweeded down, and I was wrong. I believe it all. I want to go back to the Denver airport and take pictures. I'm in it. Yeah.
So we should probably move on.
Yeah.
To another JP. Yeah. What's your unpopular opinion?
I mean, okay, this is something that I've just been noticing a lot. It's just there's so much ageism nowadays, and it's getting to a point where it's almost stifling. Right. Because I mean, there's always been generation wars. I get it. You know, like, oh, well, this generation, oh, these boomers, they suck and blah, blah, blah.
So you're anti-okay boomer?
I am. I mean, okay, I get it. Like, of course, you know, yeah, the baby boomers didn't exactly do the greatest stuff. Absolutely not. I get it. You know, they fucked over a lot of us. But geez, like at the same time, ramming it down their throats every single chance you get doesn't solve any of the problems that we have now. And I one thing I can't stand as well is that I find like a lot in our society as well as many other societies, it seems like people have this idea that when you reach a certain age, you're considered basically obsolete, you're useless, there's nothing else to be done with you and stuff. And it's really, it's heartbreaking and sad. I mean, you can just hear it in the way people interact with each other. I mean, how many times do you know, when somebody will bring up something that happened like a certain time ago, or they bring up like, I don't know, an album that's way back or something, you'll hear people say, you're really showing your age, or I wasn't born during that time. How many times have you heard people say that smug remark when it's like, I wasn't born, and it's not, we get it. You're not born in that time. Okay, fantastic. Yeah. But they don't use it in the context of curiosity. They use it in the context of, you're older than me.
Right.
Like, yeah, so what? Like,
do you know? Feel, I agree with a lot of that on account of like, I do think we should have reverence, obviously, for our older populations. I do think some of the okay boomer stuff, because I see that more as a reaction to this aggression toward millennials.
That is true. That's another thing as well I can't stand.
And
as well.
Gen Zers. And yes. The thing is like millennials, listen, I'm 37 years old. I'm mostly gray hair. I have gray pubes. Guys, I'm a millennial. Like that is, that is my age group. And so like, do you think that, I think it's got to work both ways. Like boomers have got to fucking stop blaming young people for not working hard enough when they've stacked the cards against
these.
And I think I was telling my grandmother's obviously like greatest generation. Right. And so like I was telling her about the concept of okay boomer and she just started laughing so fucking hard. She was like, well, they're right.
Yeah. At least she can admit it. She's like, yeah, you know what? We did some really shitty stuff.
They're
yeah.
right to some yeah. extent, but every generation oversaw something awful that they didn't say anything about.
And we made Facebook.
Not only did we make Facebook, but we enthusiastically supported Obama as he turned this country into a fucking surveillance state.
True.
Like, the reason Trump can kill an Iranian general with a drone strike
is Obama.
Is because of Obama. Mm-hmm. And we treat the fact that Obama left office and Trump took over as if it's this massive sea change in how politics works.
Like,
and
a complete 180.
It's not. It's just that Obama talks good and Trump doesn't. That's the main difference.
Yeah, he's a bad, he's bad for the brand.
Yeah. And, and so, I get the okay boomer stuff, but also it's like, you motherfuckers aren't doing much better.
Exactly. For sure. And plus, every generation is going to have something, like some sort of fault or foible or mistake. And then years from now, it's going to be, okay, millennials or whatever.
Well, the fault of the Gen Zers is rampant self-righteousness. I will say that, but I love what they're doing. Oh my God, I love them. I just want to push all these kids that are just like, keep doing it. I'm actually kind of obsessed with how aggressive they are going after the boomers a little bit, because as millennials, we've been too busy trying to survive to fight fight. Yeah. And now these kids, I think they're doing a mighty fine job of, toeing the line. I would like to see, once they're a voting age and of working age, what that does, where are you going to take? I'm very excited to see where they're going to take the planet.
Absolutely.
Basically.
But a lot of,
they care about it.
That
openly,
is true. Yeah.
Which is nice.
It's just the age phobia that I can't stand. I mean, okay, I don't know if you guys know, I don't know if you ever noticed it, but you notice when people are in a group or whatever like that, when they find out somebody's age, it's like all of a sudden that person is marginalized, and that person is, they almost shun that person like they're a leper or something. And I mean, I've always made it a point to have friends from many different age groups. That's how I roll.
Because
what?
One of my best friends is 55.
Hell yeah. Right?
Gross.
Yeah, she's a delight. She's so funny.
Right?
Love her.
And I've actually heard people say, I've heard 20-year-some people in their mid-20s say, if you're a 30-year-old, ew. I'm like, bitch, you're going to turn 30 very, very soon. Okay. So, I mean, what is this ew stuff? I don't understand that.
They just don't know. Yeah. I think going in one direction is that they have no ability to plan that far ahead yet.
Yeah.
So they're just being kind of dumb about it.
It's like they think they're going to be that way forever and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what? Don't get me wrong. If we were able to find a cure for eternal life, eternal youth and invincibility, I'd be down for it. I really want that. I want us to
look. You already have a very superhero look to you.
You really do.
You're like in really good shape.
You should be drinking baby blood or something to maintain all this.
Vampire blood, actually.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah.
That plus I'm trying to make sure I stay in shape for that. I want to make sure that I'm fast enough and strong enough so that when the fall of civilization happens and the zombies come out, I want to be ready.
Yeah.
You
want to be in marauding shape. I'm not. I'm going to have to find guns.
Hunter gatherer.
I'm going to have to steal guns from kids or something.
I can show you. Do you know how to shoot? I can show you how to shoot.
Yeah.
You're from the Midwest. You know how to shoot.
Hell, and
plus,
if anything, if video games have taught me anything, especially survival horror video games, once nightfall hits, we're going to have to, there's going to be some times where we won't be able to go outside because, there'll be all these super mutated zombies that can see us and smell us from miles away.
So you think the zombies are for sure thing that's happening?
Hey, I don't rule it out. But I want to be ready for that, and we need to be able to move like ninjas and stuff and be able to go from wall to wall and stuff. I do parkour as well. That's why
I used to teach karate, and the way people move is something I watch just naturally. Mm-hmm. And I have a roommate right now that walks on her heels like an elephant. She's 90 pounds, and she sounds like Andre the Giant lumbering through the house.
Right,
and I just
want
to be like, bitch, let me teach you how to balance your weight on your feet so nobody can hear you coming.
That's my roommate's thing as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, why don't we teach people how to walk?
Yes, exactly.
Says a woman with a bad hip, but I still am very quiet when I walk.
But we just need to just chill out and get along with each other more is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Especially because, like I said, going back to the whole, I wasn't born during that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I wasn't born during the Salem witch trials, but I still know about it. Okay. I'm not, maybe it could be, I'm not really showing my age. Maybe you're just showing your ignorance. That's okay. We're all ignorant at certain times about certain things. That's how we learn, especially now that we have an instrument where we can find any piece of information about anything at all, Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So don't talk to me about what you know about the past until you've watched at least two Ken Burns documentaries to completion.
Agreed. All right, Anna.
Okay.
What's yours?
Okay. Ooh, I had two. First off, just a shout out. If you have not gotten on TikTok yet, and I realize us olds are ruining it for the kiddos, is fucking perfect social media. It's amazing. And the algorithm is so goddamn good that it will zero in on what you like. So for me, I like a lot of self-help stuff. Like my favorite one is just this older Latino man that looks like he could be my uncle. He comes into frame. He always slides into frame and he's like, "Hi, you're here. I'm so excited to see you. You're going to have a great day." And then he slides out of frame. That's all I want, with soothing music. Holy shit. And cute animals. And people, like, occasionally it'll pop up. The algorithm will try to test me. There's like, there's like a pro Trump rap song that keeps getting like redone, like lip synced, and it'll try to like trick me with some stuff. And it's, I will literally, or a famous person will come up on my TikTok and I'll yell into the TikTok, "This is not for you, Kevin Hart. You're already famous. I want to see housewives talking shit about their in-laws." Like, it's such a good algorithm and I'm so for it. And I'm sure it's highly corruptible the way that any other social media is highly corruptible, but it just feels like you can really select the entertainment that you want with it, and it's really fun. Like my favorite one's a dog named Tatum, who's a nervous boy. Yeah, he's a nervous boy, and so he just like, he's always like, "I want nuggets, Dad. I want nuggets." And it's just this guy who does a really good personality and voice for his rescue dog, which is like beautiful. Anyway,
I can never figure out. I mean, with TikTok, because I have a TikTok profile account and stuff, but I have no idea what to post. Sometimes I'm just like, it just reminds me too much of Vine.
Yeah, I don't want to have to choreograph my social media posts.
It's a Vine 2.0. I don't actually do that. What I do a lot of times, I bought myself my best Christmas present this year. I bought these little tiny hands, and I do a lot of talking with my tiny hands. And my tiny hands now have tiny hands.
Oh, God.
And so
I do like a tiny hand turducken sometimes. Or I'll just I'll post a video of me like just sticking tiny hands into my boyfriend's nose and stuff. And he's like, "God damn it, leave me alone." Or like I make him do impressions because he's a talented impressionist. I just make him do impressions when he's not looking. And because his impressions are so much better when he's not being filmed.
Right.
So I'll just like force him to like do stuff. I'm a tyrant. Is what I'm saying. My other unpopular opinion is that 23andMe, because we all know that they're selling all of our, I got one this year, right? Because I wanted to know. First off, I think 23andMe should be free for any population really affected by colonialism. Because you should be able to fucking know who your ancestors are.
Yeah.
I was like, I met a Filipino Valenzuela and I was like, "I have a lot of questions." We got to talk about this. So I think people are always like, "Don't do that. The government's going to have your DNA." First off, bitch, I have Medi-Cal. The government has my DNA. Number one, they've dug around in my uterus. They got my shit on lock. My clone children in China are the only children I'm capable of having, probably. So like, fuck yeah, get it. I hope they get their bones right this time. So there's that. Secondly, Facebook and all of the Facebook entities. So Facebook, Instagram, all of that, Twitter is not owned by Facebook, obviously, but like TikTok, all of those social medias already have all of my marketing data, my age, where I've lived. It knows everything about me. It just knows everything about me, where I go, what products I like. There's nothing 23andMe can sell about me that I haven't already had happen. And if you have one family member who's done it, you're in the fucking system. Yep. That's how they caught the Golden State Killer.
Yeah, already on the grid.
My sister did it and I was like, fuck it, I'm already on the grid. I can't kill anybody anymore. So like, I'm just not gonna be shy about it. And I did it.
You can kill someone. You just have to be clean about it.
You got so clean about it.
Don't leave any DNA behind.
He's so clean. I mean, I have to kill somebody in a hazmat suit. Yeah.
Like Mark Wahlberg. Was it The Town?
The Town.
No, not The Town. It was...
I think in American Psycho, there's sort of a hazmat suit death scene as well.
What's the Whitey Bulger movie? It's not The Town.
Oh, boy. Oh,
shoot.
It fucking,
I cannot remember off the top of my head.
It's got Matt Damon.
Oh yeah.
Mark Wahlberg. Jack Nicholson plays Whitey Bulger.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not The Departed, is it?
Yes,
The Departed. The Departed. Yes, The Departed. Oh, yes.
That's
yes.
Mark Wahlberg kills someone in The Departed wearing a full fucking hazmat suit.
Yep. Here's the thing.
Hair Departed and everything. Yep.
Departed's a great movie. I highly recommend watching the Chinese film that is actually the original Departed, which is called Infernal Affairs. Whoa. And it's
yeah, it's good.
It's an incredible movie. I went through a phase where, like, pre-comedy, I had a lot of like weird, I had a lot of weird obsessive like energy. So I went through a phase where I watched only like Chinese, Thai, and Japanese cinema. I've seen like way too much, but and then it all suddenly stopped and I started doing comedy. It really fills my brain. There is. Yeah, I kind of believe, I even think through a hazmat suit, fucking, I can't, I was on set the other day and I ate one of my hairs so deep into my throat that the makeup lady had to fish it out. Because I looked at her and I said, fuck it, I'm just swallowing this hair. And she said, let me help you. And she pulled it out. She's weeping with laughter. She's like, I've never seen a hair get tangled up around Greek food like this before. I was eating with a fork. It wasn't like I was eating with my hands. I shed so aggressively, there's no way I could kill anybody anyway. But
that
here's what
sounds I'm like something that you would see in like the movie The Grudge or something. It just turns into these strands just
coming out around Greek salad. It was crazy. So I don't think 23andMe is that bad of a deal. Have you guys ever done it?
No.
I've done Ancestry, which is pretty much like it.
Right. Yeah, I think I want to do the Ancestry one because I don't know anything about, I did the like DNA plus Ancestry and I was trained to like, by the way, 23andMe, you should totally like, if you're listening to this, you should totally give Adam some money because I'm doing a Please ton do. Of free sure. advertising yeah. for you yeah. right now. But it was actually a really cool product because my parents are dead too. And so I wasn't sure like 100% like what I'm predisposed to. And I'm very afraid of Parkinson's because my dad died of a Parkinson's related illness.
Yeah, my grandma had it too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I really wanted to know. And so far it was just basically a fat shame me. It was like, you're 20 pounds over your genetic weight. I was like, bitch, how dare you? But other than that, I found it pretty interesting and I've been connecting with people that are super into Ancestry on the app and they like totally know, like they're like, which Paul Valenzuela are you related to? And it's actually pretty cool. I've connected with people all over the world. So no, I'm just saying bad. It's not terrible. I know it's like, yeah, I'm a dummy and they're definitely going to clone me from it. Probably, but they've already cloned me. I know this has already happened.
There's sure.
No way Medi-Cal dug around in my body and didn't like keep some genetic information.
Yeah.
So
like, they're raising a little baby Valenzuela right now.
I know. They're like, man, this bitch's teeth are crazy. When I was a kid, I looked like a horror movie. Like my teeth were all like pointing in the wrong direction and I had like way too much energy and they're probably like, man, her bones are already bad. They're probably just like, we could have chose better.
Yeah.
Or I hope my clone is better. Like if you read Old Man's War.
I have not.
Okay, it's a great sci-fi book where they basically like they only recruit for the drafts. They only recruit people over 75, and then they clone them and take their consciousness out of their body, and then they fight space wars.
Oh, that's fine.
Whoa, okay.
And I'd be fine. Right. One of the first things that happens is they notice that like their new body looks just like them, but younger, but like slightly green skin because of whatever like photosynthesis shit they put in the skin. But they're fucking super hot. And like
hell ripped. Yeah.
And so like, yeah. So there's like a whole chapter where they just all fuck each other.
Oh, nice. Lemon party.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Cause they're just like, oh my God, now we're hot again. And they just like have sex drives. It's a real fun concept. So if you're going to clone me, if you're going to clone me, make me like above Heidi Klum hot. Like I want to be, yeah. I want to be like two Selma Hayek. I want to be like a tall Selma Hayek. That's what I want. Or like a J-Lo.
But you also want to fight space wars.
And I want to fight space wars. Definitely.
With no conscience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to fight some space wars. I want to get into it. You know what I mean?
If that's what 23andMe ends in, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. They do ask you a lot of like just straight up marketing information, which is very funny. They're like, what's your favorite movie from last year? Or like weird shit like that. It's very weird. I'm like, why are you asking me that? That's so weird. And then I realized, yeah. They're just selling my data.
I never got that with Ancestry.
Yeah. With Ancestry. Well, Ancestry is interesting because they're ultimately owned by the Mormon Church. Which has our best like genealogical records in the United States because they're baptizing the dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait, they're doing what now?
They baptized George Carlin after he died.
Yeah, they baptized the dead. And then once you're baptized, they baptize all your ancestors. So the Mormon Church is fascinating. They're so fucking adaptable. Like, yeah. I can't wait till they're just like, yeah, gay people are fine because they just want to increase their numbers. Like, right. That's probably going to happen.
They'll get there, but it's going to take a while.
It's going to take a really long time. Because
it was like 75 when they were like, oh, yeah, black people can be Mormons. Yeah, exactly.
Because, yeah,
like 1975.
But if you think about it, look at them in as far as like records with the Catholic Church, for example. You know what I mean? Like, Catholic Church takes eons. I'm not like a pro-Mormon, but I just think it's a fascinating religion to study because you're like, wow, they really move quickly in terms of like religion's changes over time.
Yeah.
But
good for them.
Yeah. I'm probably going to do the ancestry one for sure, because the 23andMe has like better of a genetic information kit, but awesome. Everybody who's talked to me. Oh my God.
Does Scientology have one? I want to know where my thetans come from.
Where your thetans come from. Are we going to, I want to, I'm so susceptible to joining cults that I need somebody to go in there with me. Cause I'm curious. That's how I end up like in weird, like I've been to a Pentecostal camp meeting and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm deeply curious about belief systems and I always have been, but like, I'm so afraid to go into a Scientology thing. Cause one time somebody bought me like a landmark seminar I was like, okay. And that's just Scientology light. And it's like, oh, I was like, oh yeah, you're not feeding us. We're here for 14 hours. We're sleep deprived and hungry. Of course.
Yeah.
This is reprogramming. But, what was I going to say? 23. I do have a fun 23andMe story. My stepmom, bless her heart,
is the Golden State Killer.
Is the Golden State Killer. Dun, dun, dun. She bought one of those for her cousins, her two cousins who are sisters last year, which I was like, why did you buy two? Mm. They're sisters. What are you doing? Buy one. And because they're sisters from like the same, supposedly the same dad. And all their genetic information came back differently. So when she was like, what do you want for Christmas? I was like, a 23andMe. She just started yelling at me and I couldn't figure out why. She was like, don't do that. Don't do it. And I was like, what? And then she told me the whole story and I was like, I'll just buy it for myself on Black Friday. Like, what the fuck is going on? But yeah, be careful who you buy it for because you might find out some shit.
Yikes. That's true.
Y'all can't lie. So my grandma didn't lie about being Dutch and German. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of German in my DNA.
I was actually hoping, like when I did my ancestry.com thing, I was really hoping that I would have like some really wild past and stuff. Like maybe, you know, I had ancestors who were in like the Viking Wars or something.
See, I do. I have all over the world. I'm like Asian. I'm like all these different things. I have like a significant amount of DNA in all these other areas.
All I have is like a bunch of stuff from Africa, of course.
Sure.
And then, you know, maybe a little percentage from European. I think it was like Scottish or French or something.
Yeah.
And then
That's one slave owner.
Exactly. The one slave owner is just like, I think it was like 6% European or something like that. So I'm, you know, I can only colonize 6% of something now. So it's just like,
6%, that's a lot.
Yeah, you should, now with that information, you should be able to impregnate any woman of a different race that you want at this point. Wow, that sounds rapey. I just made that rapey. I made it really rapey.
Only 6% of you though. Only 6% of you.
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to make it rapey. I'm just saying my DNA is like all over the place.
Consent provided by Anna Valenzuela.
No! I know. I had a...
Need fast consent real quick?
Do you like how my brain just like immediately I was like, nope, wait, oh God, no, pull that back. No, I have like 5%. They don't even know what it is. And I think that's serious? The alien DNA.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah. Anunnaki genes.
Yeah. Very nice.
That's what that is. The star people.
I always wonder about that. Cause did you see that, that documentary about that one employee, that former employee of Area 51, where he wanted to basically spill the beans on what was going on in Area 51. And of course, they tried to shut him down immediately. They basically threatened him and his family and so on and so forth. But one of his theories was that everything that's happening on this planet right now, all of our lives, everything, every situation that we're going through, apparently is some sort of experiment by a higher alien civilization.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping that's true because I mean, because it would be great if they just came, they just beamed down out of nowhere. Like, you know, like a guy who just looks like an alien life form who just looks like Steve Jobs. He's wearing like a nice blazer with the sleeves rolled up and jeans on.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's going to deliver a TED talk or something like, hey guys, you guys have been great. And I tell you what, we're going to, you know, thank you for participating in our experiment. Give yourselves a round of applause. Yay. So we're going to fix a couple of things. First off, we're going to get rid of the monetary system. We're going to make, get rid of all these diseases we're going to make you guys live forever. So no more aging, no more dying. You guys get to live forever. And we're going to get rid of this monetary system because, you know, it's kind of, you guys are
kind of. We can't all live forever though.
No,
we don't have enough resources to all live forever.
Well, I mean, that's when we'll have to, you know, really get into more space travel and really exploration and stuff.
One of my fantasies about global warming is that we already have the technology that will fix it. And we're just like, well, let's raid the planet for a few more years first.
Yeah,
like, why waste all this oil?
That's entirely possible, because if they can adjust the weather with laser beams, they can also just continually readjust it to fix global warming, potentially. I imagine there
Hopefully it could be some Snowpiercer shit where we try and we just freeze the whole planet. And now we all live on a train.
Yeah.
That is great, by the way. Have you seen the movie or read the book?
Yeah, Snowpiercer. I've seen the movie.
Fuck. So good. So good. So good. Yeah.
So I think that's a sewed. So what do we have to plug before we get out of here?
I have 12 questions.
Yes. It's
coming back. Season 3. Don't change that dial. We are coming in with a season 3 because I burn out real quick. And please check me out at Anna Villa's Fun on Twitter and Instagram. My website is annavalenzuela.com. If you are in the, if you are in Atlanta, North Carolina, Philadelphia and New York, I will be coming out between March and April. And if you are in the UK, I will be in England, Scotland, Ireland, Copenhagen, and to be announced in June. So keep your eyes peeled for that information.
That's dope.
Coming
very nice
for the Edinburgh Fringe, right?
No, but I do want to do an Edinburgh Fringe about.
Me too.
I had a year where I had my period because my uterus exploded, and I want to do an entire.
I think
about
one
that.
Of the other guests is here.
We gotta
should,
go.
Yeah, we should wrap this up.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
I'm gonna go let them in. Okay. JP, what do you got to plug?
Okay, guys, follow me on social media. JAYP Brown 365. Look for the Iron Man T-shirt. I just got back from being on the road and performing at Laughlin, Nevada in the Edgewater Casino.
Edgewater. I fucked with Edgewater.
Hell yeah. You guys were lit, man. You guys were a dope crowd. And everyone in Kingman, Arizona at the Sundowner Saloon, you guys were so much fun, man. Thanks for having me there.
Oh, I love Arizona.
Arizona is dope.
Yeah, we have a lot of fans of Unpops out there.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, for real. They show up to shows in Arizona.
Oh, hell
yeah.
Shout out. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, and God damn it, fix your night weather at Kingman. You guys are cold as hell. Holy shit.
Yeah, Arizona's low-key super cold.
You know, and
I'm sorry for running so late, Adam.
What else?
I'm a chatter.
Pine Top, Arizona, thanks so much for having me over at the Honda Casino. And if you're in the North Carolina area in March, I will be there in the North Carolina Comedy Festival. Go to my website.
Me too.
You're going to do it too?
Yes.
What?
That's why I'm centering the tour around.
Oh,
North Carolina
dude.
Comedy Festival. Come check us out.
Hell yeah, man.
Hopefully we're on shows together.
I hope so too, man. Yeah, just check out my information at jaypbrown.com. Also, look out because I'm going to be coming up with a new gaming YouTube channel called Ain't That a Glitch. So that's coming very soon. So yeah, follow me on social media. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, all that stuff. Same handle, JAYP Brown 365.
Yeah.
All right. No one's listening anymore, but you can follow me on Instagram if you want at Adam Todd Brown, and I'll be on tour next year.
Yeah.
No, this
Hell
year.
Yeah.
It's 2020, so
are
this
you,
year.
Are you going out with the Portugal Demands?
No. Just on my own.
Fuck yeah.
Nice, dude.
I did open for Portugal Demand last year, though, again.
I love it.
In That's South dope. Dakota. It was
I
very
love
fun.
Them.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here. JP Brown, say goodbye.
Guys, thank you very much. Peace and chicken grease. Megatron out.
Anna Valenzuela, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Bring a blood object to Bristol Street.